Good morning and welcome to service today. Whether you're here with us in the room or you're watching on Catch Up, welcome. To begin our long list of intimations today, our family catch up that was scheduled to be today has been canceled. We didn't have quite enough people to help set it up, so we will be doing the one in December though, so please come along to that one instead. A fair trade shop is going to, there's a preview evening that's happening on November 5th at the Acorn Center in Inverurie. I was just there last week looking through all of the stuff that they have. It's really great stuff. So if you want to go and have a look at what they have to sell, it's all wonderful. Men's group will be Tuesday, November 13th at 7 p.m. at the Church Center. So come along and hear from John Whittle on the work of the Commonwealth Graves Commission. You guys have all heard of TED Talks. We have something similar, Tim Talks, where we will be learning about discipleship and leadership within the church, and that begins November 15th at 7:30 here in the Kirk. This is a presbytery event, so there will be more people from across the presbytery coming and listening to what is going to be said there. We will also be having a volunteer safeguarding training happening on November 17th. That's a Saturday. It starts at 10 a.m. So if you work with children or other groups, please contact Fiona and she will get you signed up to be on that safeguarding training. We are having a Tier Fun Big Quiz Night, which I'm sure you guys have heard of, where we will come together and play a nice quiz game. Cost is £5 to participate, and all fundraising goes to Tier Fund. We also have an evening of praise and worship here in the Kirk on November 18th at 6:30, and our theme is More Than a Singer of Songs. My personal favorite announcement this morning is Thanksgiving with a Scottish twist, where we will be having Thanksgiving dinner on Thursday, November 22nd. It's an American holiday, but we're putting a Scottish twist on it. So come for good food and fellowship, games, and some other activities. The cost for tickets is £5, and you can talk to the social committee if you are interested. Also, a big thank you for those of you that donated shoeboxes. Those are being shipped off later this week. We collected 68 boxes to send away. So good job, all of you who participated. And now we have an announcement from Rita.
This is really just a business announcement, please. We have a meeting at 2:30 on Tuesday at the manse for all conveners or another representative from all working groups. There was email sent around recently, so if you haven't read it, would you please check your Office 365 account? Because it's really important that we have the people that are invited to that meeting to come along on Tuesday or to send another representative. So please check your 365 email. Thank you very much. Thanks, Kelly.
And now we will come together in worship for the Lord, to kneel before the throne of God. So join me in singing our first song, Before the Throne of God.
Thank you.
Be still and know that I am God. Let's just have a moment of silence as we bring ourselves before God this morning. Big-hearted God, yours the beauty of the autumn days, the golden and rusty leaves falling from the trees, the light of autumn, the nip in the air, the wind, the rain, all reminding us that summer is tucked up in bed and winter is arriving. The sights, the smells, and the touch of our world are all your gifts to us. And Lord, we offer our gifts, our monetary gifts, and ourselves to you this morning to be used in your glory. Thank you, Lord. Generous God, you give us all these gifts and so much more as we wonder at the recreation of each new day, as all creation stands as witness to your masterful creativity and shouts out your glory and sings her tuneful song. Thank you, generous God. Yet, despite the beauty we breathe in the breathtaking canvas that surrounds us, we, your people, misbehave. We disrespect the very gifts made for our pleasure, resulting in this, our planet, being under threat. Nature's balance and creation's provision are used and abused. Forgiving God, forgive our stupidity, our greed, our grasping, our lack of generosity. Turn us around and make us see sense. Make us more careful and give the wisdom we need to treat the earth and its people as most precious things. Loving God, who has given us your most precious Son, Jesus, help us to be more obedient and trusting of you in all things. Your kingdom come, Lord, not ours on earth. Your will be done, not ours, as this is the only sensible way. Your kingdom come in care and carefulness, for the earth has had enough. And we offer ourselves to you to be used in bringing your kingdom here on earth as we join together in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
We all seek to be drawn into relationship with God. So please join me now in singing, "Breathe on Me, Breath of God."
Breathe on me, breath of God.
join me up front. Excellent. Who did you bring today with you?
My teddy.
Your teddy. Does it have a name? Hello.
Stewart.
What?
Stewart.
Stewart?
Stewart.
Stewart. Your cute little accent makes it hard to understand sometimes. How are you two this morning?
Good.
Excellent. Okay, so Lewis, you have brought... Oh, good, we have more. I know I can't even say his name right. So, Lewis, you have brought Stewart.
No, Stewart.
Stewart.
No, Stewart.
Stewart?
Yeah.
Stewart? Okay, there we go. Now did I say it right? No? Okay. Well, you've brought your teddy, which... Never knew pronouncing a name. Was that hard? You brought your teddy. And I'm assuming all of you guys have something that's really special to you. Maybe your favorite toy or your favorite candy. Can you guys tell me what your favorite things are? Your teddy?
My car.
Your car. Excellent. Do you two have something you love?
Yes.
What is it? Football? That's a good thing to love. You say football too? Yeah. What about you guys?
Earrings.
Earrings? Ooh, what's your favorite kind of earring?
Unicorn ones.
Unicorn earrings. That's pretty cool. What about you two?
I don't know. I like a lot of things.
You like a lot of things. That's good to like a lot of things. What about you, Ben?
Not really anything.
Not really anything? There's nothing that you love.
Maybe
me? You said that? Oh, that's so sweet of you. That was really loud. Okay, well, now this feels really insignificant compared to that last answer. I really like Maltesers.
I don't eat them.
You don't like Maltesers? I love Maltesers. This is something that I almost always get when I'm at the grocery store as my little snack to have after dinner. I love them quite a lot. But the other day, Noel said, Kylie, you can't have that many. You can't have them day after day after day. And I said, no, you're probably right. But I think sometimes that happens. So, Lewis, do your parents ever say, you know what, it's time for your teddy to go away for a little bit? Do they ever say that? Or like, pick up your toys, do they say that? Yeah, they say pick up your toys, right? And Do your parents ever say, let's pick up the football gear now? Yeah, they probably. Right, you usually go out unexpected, so your parents say to clean up, right? Yes, what about you guys? Do your parents ever say, time for the earrings to go away? No? Okay. Well, sometimes parents say, it's time for you to pick up your toys. And they don't mean, well, your toys have to go away forever, right? No, because it means they can come out the next day. Right. And so today's story, which is kind of a big story, when God asks Abraham to give him his son, Isaac, what God's really asking is he's saying, you have something that you love quite a lot, but I want you to love me, to love God, more. And so sometimes he asks us to put away our toys or to give up things that we really love, not to take it away forever, but to make sure that they're all in the places that they should be so that we can love God the most. So when our parents ask us to pick up our toys, should we listen? We should probably obey, shouldn't we? And when Noel tells me not to eat too many Maltesers, I should probably obey, shouldn't I? Yeah. Okay, can we pray before you guys go off? Yes? Okay, repeat after me, all right? Dear Lord, thank you for always being someone we can trust in. There we go. Please help us to trust you. Amen. Perfect. You guys will stand for a song, and then you get to go off with your mommy, Lewis, to go to catch, okay? Okay. Great. Thank you for coming and sitting with me and telling me all your favorite things. You can go back now. And so, as we've learned, sometimes God asks us to give up the things we really love just for a little bit. And so, now we will stand and sing in full and glad surrender.
The first reading this morning can be found on Genesis chapter 21, which is on page 21 of your Bible. Genesis 21, starting at verse 1. Now the Lord was gracious to Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah what he had promised. Sarah became pregnant and bore a son to Abraham in his old age, at the very time God had promised him. Abraham gave the name Isaac to the son Sarah bore him. When his son Isaac was 8 days old, Abraham circumcised him as God commanded him. Abraham was 100 years old when Isaac was born to him. Sarah said, God has brought me laughter, and everyone who hears about this will laugh with me. And she added, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? And yet I have borne him a son in his old age. The second reading is Genesis 22, starting at verse 1. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, Abraham? Here I am, he replied. Then God said, take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I will tell you about. Early the next morning, Abraham got up and saddled his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, "Stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship and then we will come back to you." Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife.
As the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father Abraham, Father?
Yes, my son, Abraham replied.
The fire and wood are here, Isaac said, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham answered, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. And the two of them went on together. When they reached the place God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, Abraham, Abraham!
Here I am, he replied.
Do not lay a hand on the boy, he said. Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son. Abraham looked up, and there in a thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the place, The Lord will provide. And to this day it is said, On the mountain of the Lord it will be provided. The angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven a second time and said, I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and you have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies, and through your offspring all nations on earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me. Then Abraham returned to his servants, and they set off together for Beersheba. And Abraham stayed in Beersheba. The next lesson is taken from Luke, chapter 14, verse 25. It can be found on page 1048 of your Bible. Luke 14, 25. Large crowds were travelling with Jesus, and turning to them he said, If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, his wife and children, his brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. And anyone who does not carry his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Will he not first sit down and estimate the cost to see if he has enough money to complete it? For if he lays the foundation and is not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule him, saying, This fellow began to build and was not able to finish. Or suppose a king is about to go to war against another king. Will he not first sit down and consider whether he is able, with 10,000 men, to oppose the one coming against him with 20,000? If he is not able, he will send a delegation while the other is still a long way off, and will ask for terms of peace. In the same way, any of you who does not give up everything he has cannot be my disciple. Amen, and thanks be to God for this reading of his holy word.
And so now we will stand and sing Safe in the Shadow of the Lord.
Shadow of the Lord.
Let us bow our heads in prayer. Lord, as we enter into this time, we pray that you speak to us, that we come to know who you are more fully, that we come to recognize you as the faithful God. Amen. For the past few weeks, we have heard over and over again that God keeps his promises. But we haven't seen him follow through on either of the promises that he gives to Abraham. Up till now, Abraham has still not received the child. He still is not in the land that is promised. In fact, Abraham's been waiting for 25 years for God to keep his promises. We've heard how he tried to conceive the child on his own with Hagar. We've heard how he and Sarah have laughed at God's promise of a child, thinking, how could this possibly happen in our old age? But after 25 years, Abraham and Sarah finally get to gaze on their son's face. They have his little fingers wrap around theirs. They hear his cries. They get to experience the sweetness of God's long-awaited promise as it comes to fruition. And they name the child Isaac, which means laughter. For all the times Abraham and Sarah laughed at God's promise, God had actually brought them a child. A child who brought them joyful laughter instead of scoffing guffaws. For the next few years, they get to watch as their son grows up. They learn his quirks, watch him make mistakes, impart their faith to him. As all parents do, they came to deeply love this son, the son they never thought they would have. But in the midst of this blissful life comes a startling command. God speaks to Abraham and says, "Take your son, your only son, Isaac, who you love, and take him into the land of Moriah, where he will become a burnt offering." What? Imagine you hear this. What a crushing blow it would be to hear about the son you love that has to be a sacrifice. In fact, this son is your pride and joy, who God himself has promised to you, and he has to be sacrificed by your hand, no less. Would Abraham panic, argue with God, flat out refuse? He does none of this. He immediately obeys God. The very next day, he sets out for the intended place. What makes Abraham immediately obey God's command? I think if we look at how this story is set up, we will learn what made Abraham react the way he did. God says, "Go into the land of Moriah, to the mountain I will tell you about." Seems pretty straightforward to us. But this is language that we've heard before. In chapter 12, God first promises Abraham a child and says, "Leave your country and your people and go to the land I will tell you about." Both passages tell Abraham to go to a land God will tell him about. And we know, just as Abraham knows, that when God promised Abraham a son in the earlier chapter, he followed through with that promise in today's passage. So when God says, "Go to the land I will tell you about," Abraham already knows that God is trustworthy. In fact, I think God uses similar language to the original promissory call in order to encourage Abraham's trust and obedience. In essence, God is saying, "You can trust me, just obey." But God also reveals his care for Abraham and Isaac in his request. He refers to Isaac as your son, your only son, whom you love. God knows how much Abraham loves and cherishes Isaac. For God loves and cherishes Isaac too. He is the promised son. I think that's why God asks Abraham to do the specific act, to sacrifice his son. God could have asked Abraham to do a wide variety of different things, but he specifically asks Abraham to sacrifice his son, because God knew where Abraham's heart lay. What God is doing is confronting Abraham with the question he asks every single one of us. Will you love me with all of your heart, or will you love something else instead of me? Will I be your all in all? While I was growing up, my parents used to read stories about missionaries to my sister and I after dinner. I remember hearing these incredible stories of these families that would move around the world to try to share the gospel with people. And they would uproot their families to move across the world. Some would lose children to disease. Some felt like their ministry wasn't making a difference. Some even lost their lives. At the time, to my comfortable, safe, luxurious Western life, the kind of life these missionaries lived was a radical shift away from anything I had planned or anything I wanted from my life. At 12, I remember vehemently telling God, "Don't you dare ask me to work in ministry, and don't you dare ask me to move internationally." Which you all laugh at because that's exactly what I've done. You see, God knew my deepest desire was to stay in a community where I felt known, where I was safe, secure, comfortable. And he confronted me with the same question he poses to Abraham. Will you choose to love me, or will you choose to love community, security, safety, comfort? I think we're all posed with this question. What God asks us to sacrifice is different, but we all must choose who and what we will love most. God knows what he's asking of Abraham when he asks him to sacrifice his son. God knows what it's like to sacrifice a beloved son, to give a son over to death. In Romans 8:32, it says, "God did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all." God went through the agonizing decision to sacrifice his son, not because someone asked him to, but because he knew it was the only way to bring true life. God gives up his son, his only son, who he loves, to redeem and restore us. So the Father's heartache is God's own heartache. And this question hangs in the air. Will God be Abraham's all in all? Will Abraham continue to obey God? Or will he choose to keep his son? As Abraham plods along the path towards the appointed place, he must be flashing through memories of his son, Isaac's first steps, the first time pride swelled up in Abraham because of something Isaac did or said, the work they did side by side, the times they worshiped together. Into this reverie, the voice of Isaac cuts in. "Dad, where is the lamb for the sacrifice?" Abraham's answer is significant. He says, "God will provide the lamb for the offering." This is the crux of the whole story. Abraham proclaims absolute trust in God's provision. Abraham thinks, somehow God must be faithful in this request. God, who promised me a child and was faithful in providing this child, will be faithful in the request to sacrifice the child. So he says, God will provide. This is Abraham's proclamation of trust in the God who provides. And when Abraham and Isaac get to the altar, they set up the wood, everything's prepared, but there's still no lamb. So Abraham looks at Isaac and begins to bind him, making it apparent that Isaac is to be the sacrifice. But Isaac, who's younger and much stronger than Abraham, could have easily overpowered him and ran for his life. Something makes him stay. The faith of his father, knowledge that this is God's will, or the assurance that, just as his father proclaimed, God will provide. This story is about faith, trust, obedience, but it's a story of two men, Abraham and Isaac, who trusted that God would provide. So when everything was ready, when there was nothing left to do but follow through with the sacrifice, Abraham prepares to slaughter his son. Kierkegaard, one of my favorite theologians, writes this about the scene. And there Abraham stood, the old man, with his only hope. But he did not doubt. He did not look anxiously to the right or to the left. He did not challenge heaven with his prayers. He knew that it was God the Almighty who was trying him. He knew that it was the hardest sacrifice that could be required of him. But he knew also that no sacrifice was too hard when God required it. And he drew the knife. Abraham had made the decision. God will be my everything. I am ready to sacrifice what I hold most dear in my life in order to fully love my God. And God hears Abraham's promise. He shouts, Abraham, Abraham. His voice is full of urgency. And immediately Abraham responds, here I am. In three words, Abraham captures the heart of faithful service. Here I am. This is a servant's response, a servant poised to obey the master's every word. Abraham has learned over the years that the Lord can be trusted. He responds to every request with obedience. Here I am, Lord. So Abraham's willingness to sacrifice his most prized possession, his son, Abraham is in essence sacrificing himself. And in response to this radical trust and obedience, the Lord provides the lamb that Abraham was so sure he would. For in fact, there's a ram caught in the bushes that seconds ago wasn't there. With a relieved exhale, Abraham catches the ram and sacrifices it, praising God for his provision. And like Hagar named the well next to where she experienced God, Abraham names the mountain on which he has the experience with God. The Lord will provide. This is the name of the mount. The Lord will provide. A reminder to him and all who pass by that the Lord does indeed provide. This is the meaning of God's request to Abraham. God is asking, will you love me above all else? Or will you choose something else to love? He asks the same question to those who wish to follow Jesus. In Luke, he turns to those following him and says, if any of you come to me and do not hate your mother and your father, your spouse, your children, brother or sisters, even your own life, you cannot be my disciple. What God is not saying is that we must literally hate our family members. What he is saying is that the good things God has given us, like family or a son in Abraham's case, can very quickly usurp the place of God in our hearts. We can grow to love these good things that we've been given more than we love God. But we must be willing to place these good things on the altar, to sacrifice them to God. Now, this sounds extreme. I have a story that might clear this up. Some of you may have noticed that when I pray, my hands are like this, flat, open, empty. It's my posture that says, God, everything that I have, everything that I hold dear, I give them up to you. There's nothing that I could have that could ever be as important to you. But they're open for another reason. They're open because God loves to lavish blessings on us. And the only way we can receive those things is when our hands are open to receive them. When we're not grasping on to the things that we love and hold so dearly to life that we can't realize that God is asking us to accept his own blessings, asking us to give the things we love to him so that he can give them back. That's what this story is. It's asking for us to sacrifice the things we love, to not hold on tightly, so that we can receive what God wants to give us back, what he wants to bless us with. When I decided to go into ministry, to move internationally, to be with you all, I realized I wasn't giving up my desire for community and safety, but finding that true community and true safety comes from resting in God. It's a funny thing to sacrifice your desires. You don't actually give them up, but find that they come to their fullest fruition when you lay them at the feet of the Lord. We see this with Abraham. Abraham, too, held Isaac with a loose grip, ready to give him up to God. But God saw that Abraham trusted and obeyed. So God provided a lamb instead and gave him back his son. And so I pose all of you with the all-important question. What must you place on the altar? What barriers stand in your way from loving God fully? What kind of good things do you love more than God? My hope and my prayer is that I can say, that all of us can say, God, my whole life, everything that I am, I lay it on the altar. Consume my life with your glory. Amen. My hope is that all of us can sing this next song with conviction. I am not mine own.
Let us join together now in our prayers for others. Father God, you are the God who created all things and all peoples. You want the best of things for us, and you give us many blessings in our lives, for which we are truly grateful. As simple humans, we are greatly disturbed and troubled by the misery in our world today, so much of it caused by humankind. How much more troubled must you, our Creator, be? In our frail state, we bring all the misery to you, along with our prayers for relief. Let us focus our minds today on one area, Yemen. We have seen so many distressing images in the press and in the news of the horrendous suffering inflicted on the Yemeni people over the recent years. We thank you that there are people who risk their own lives that we can be informed about these situations. We know there are renewed calls for peace talks amidst the continuing strife. We pray that the talks will indeed take place with leaders willing to listen and to compromise. It is almost impossible for us to understand how the suffering of so many people can be ignored by those in command. Let us take some time to pray to you from our own hearts, Lord, for the people and the suffering they are enduring. Let us pray silently together. Lord God, hear our prayers for Yemen. We continue to pray for those we know personally who are in need of your care, Lord. Wrap your arms around the lonely and the sick. Help us to help wherever we can. And help us to see where those situations and times may be. We bring our prayers in the name of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus. Amen.
This next song is a new song, one that I have been listening to a lot over the last couple weeks, and they were both, all three of them were good about learning it so that we can learn it this week. So we'll be singing, "We Will Feast in the House of Zion."
We will feast in the house of Zion. We will.
Just a reminder before we all leave this morning, service is at 9:30 a.m. next week in order to accommodate walking over to the War Memorial. It's printed wrong in the bulletin, so just remember 9:30. But with that, my hope for all of us is that we can ask ourselves, what stands in the way of loving God fully? My hope is that we can lay that down at the foot of the Lord because he wants to richly bless us. Go today and every day believing in God as the faithful God. Amen.